Want to know what strategies real graduates use to launch their career? Well, here's your chance. From personal stories to insider tips, our interviews with graduates and campus recruiters will equip you with the knowledge and inspiration you need to take off and stand out from the crowd. Brought to you by Prospel, your one-stop shop for finding and securing your dream internship or fresh graduate job.
All right. Could you tell us about yourself, what you do, and where you work, please?
Awesome. Thank you so much, Frances. My name is Maddie. I'm a senior early careers specialist at ARIP. My pronouns are she, her, and I'm based in Meanjin, Brisbane, which is in Queensland, Australia. I look after early careers for Queensland, New South Wales, ACT, Singapore, Indonesia, and Malaysia. And I work at ARIP, which is a multidisciplinary consultancy. We have designers, engineers, and advisors all working together to help shape a better world.
Very cool. And what's your favorite and least favorite thing about working in early careers?
My favorite thing, I think, is the opportunity to connect with students and to potentially have a positive impact on them as they kickstart their career. I really love getting to know the students and the different trends and the changes that are happening both at a university level and also through the generations as they come through for their careers. So I love that opportunity of always continuously learning and growing. I think my least favorite thing is perhaps the peaks and troughs of graduate recruitment. So we have really busy periods and then we have much quieter periods rather than it being consistent and spread across the year. So I think that's something that we'll always just continue to be challenged with, and we adapt and find strategies to make it more manageable.
And it seems like you've been doing early careers for a while now.
Yeah. I've been working in early careers since the start of 2019, and I've worked at three different organizations in the same space. I started off doing an internship at National Australia Bank, where I worked in their technology workforce programs, recruiting their tech interns. So like developers and software engineers and students like that. And then after that, I moved to another engineering consultancy and worked there as a grad recruiter for 12 months before then coming across to ARIP and working in the early career space here for our Australasia region. In my current role, I'm recruiting built environment engineers, architects, landscape designers, transport planners, things like that.
Oh, very cool. I guess that's a good segue into what are the kinds of opportunities that ARIP offers new grads.
Yeah, we have two key early careers programs that we run every year. So we have our summer vacation program. So that's targeted to students in their penultimate year and runs across Australia and New Zealand. Essentially, it's a internship over the summer university break, usually running from mid to late November through to February the following year. Basically, that program is designed to help bridge that gap between university and the workforce and provide students with opportunities to engage and network with professionals, work on real projects, and also help develop their future career. So we recruit for that every year. Applications open around July or August, and yeah, the program commences in November. Mm-hmm. And then the other program that we have at ARIP is our graduate development program, which is aimed at students who have studied a relevant degree. The students will have needed to have graduated in time before the graduate program starts. So that kicks off around February and March of each year. And it's a full-time permanent role for all of our grads that come and join us. We recruit for the graduate program around March each year. And then that's to start in February, March the following year. And we also do have a smaller intake that we'll recruit for around July, August as well to fill any additional roles that might have come up in the previous months.
Got it. And so are the roles fairly consistent year after year? Or are there like changes that grads might want to know about from recent years?
Good question. So the graduate program, I should mention as well, is offered across Australia, New Zealand, Singapore, Indonesia, and Malaysia. So they all make up the same cohort. The roles are pretty consistent, and we usually do have opportunities in most of our office locations and across various disciplines. It's quite a large program. We have anywhere between about 130 to 180 graduates starting each year across all of those key offices. Mm-hmm. And we usually have anything from fire engineers through to architects through to transport planners and everything in between. There's usually some sort of opportunity that will be available somewhere within the region for students of most degrees within the STEM industry.
So if I were a student in Singapore, could I apply for a job at Arup in Australia?
Yes, it is possible. Our platform does now allow people to apply in different countries, regardless of where they are based. One of the requirements, though, for our programs is that the candidate must hold the right to work in the country that they're applying for. If you are coming to apply to work in Australia, you'd have to certify that you have the right to work here. In Australia, for example, we accept applications from everyone, but they'll need to tick that they have an appropriate visa, whether that be a student visa for the intern program, a graduate visa for the graduate development program, or any other valid visa that gives them the right to work. Through part of the application process, candidates will be asked whether they hold the right to work, and they will have to certify that they do. That's just to ensure that we meet the guidelines set out by the Australian government. And as long as the candidate is able to, then we would love to see an application from them, regardless of where they are. You can jump on our website to find out more about what that criteria is and who's eligible to apply.
Awesome. Cool. So it sounds like Arup hires international students then within Australia and New Zealand.
Yes, that's correct, provided that they have the right to work in the country that they're applying for.
And would you say getting an internship is like a prerequisite to getting into the grad program?
An internship is not necessarily a prerequisite for the graduate program. I think it is a great opportunity to kickstart your career and get your foot in the door and potentially not have to apply for graduate roles if you do stay on board post internship. We aim to retain as many of our interns as possible, provided that the team and the candidate are a good fit and that there is a graduate opportunity available in the following year. We do retain a lot of our interns and bring them on board once they've completed their studies, but there are a number of factors that can sometimes impact that. For example, if the student might have a few years left of their degree or if they're planning to go overseas and things like that, it can impact that retention. But otherwise, our graduate applications are open to anyone studying a relevant degree with the right to work. We hire a large number of people each year who may not have necessarily been an intern with us, and they just go through our normal recruitment process.
Awesome. That's reassuring. I bet because some people, they're interns at other companies and maybe they didn't enjoy it and they want to switch over. So it's good to hear that there are those chances to get in as a grad.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important point that you've just raised as well, is that, yeah, I think one thing that I always consider about internships is, as a student, you will always learn something out of an internship. You'll either learn something that you really love or that you're really passionate about, or a company that you really want to continue working for, or maybe it will help you realize that particular line of work or that particular discipline is maybe not so much what you're interested in. And then it gives you the opportunity to go and explore alternate pathways or different companies that can help you figure out ultimately which kind of graduate role would be best for you.
Could you take us behind the scenes of the hiring process? So from your first point of interaction with the student to like the offer stage.
Definitely. We have a pretty straightforward recruitment process in our current state. So essentially, candidates will apply online via our application portal, and that will be around March for graduates and July, August for the intern program. We advertise our roles on a few different platforms, including Prospool, as well as some of the university career portals as well, and sharing through our broader network. So once a candidate comes through those adverts, they will come on and submit an application with us. Through that application, we will ask them to share some of their personal information in terms of what they've studied and things like that, and they'll have the opportunity to select two preferences for roles that they would like to be considered for. We will also ask for their resume and their academic transcript from their studies, and then there will be an option to include a cover letter. So, everyone who meets the eligibility criteria who has submitted an application will be invited to come and complete our online psychometric testing. Everyone who completes that will receive a personalized feedback report that will give them a bit of an understanding of their testing results and what was found through that testing. From there, essentially, once our applications have closed, we do a shortlisting exercise and we'll go through and review the candidates and provide a shortlist to the hiring managers or the team leaders that have requested a graduate or an intern, depending on the campaign. And then once they've reviewed, they'll select the candidates that they would like to come through for an interview. And then depending on how the interview goes or if there is need for a second interview, usually most of our offers go out not long after that first interview, and the candidate will receive a letter of offer, which they'll have 7 days to sign and accept or decline. And then from there, once that's all done, we begin onboarding. So it's a pretty simple process: application, psychometric testing, interview, and offer. We like to fast track people through the process and have less hoops for them to jump in.
Got it. Got it. If I'm understanding you correctly, basically, recruiters go through the resumes and then invite certain people to fit the eligibility criteria to do psychometric testing.
Yeah, no, everyone who meets the eligibility criteria will go through and do testing. So that's determined through the responses that they give in the application platform. If, for example, one of our eligibility criteria is that you couldn't have more than a couple of years experience in the relevant field, if you said you had 10 years experience working as an engineer and you're applying for an engineering role, you would not automatically go through to testing, but everyone who does meet that criteria will get an invite. And I think that's really useful because it means that if you were a candidate that didn't get selected to go through for an interview, you do still receive that tangible feedback by getting the feedback report emailed to you from the testing results. It's a good opportunity to provide that sort of further learning or feedback on an application when you are receiving such mass volumes of applicants.
Got it. And in addition to the resume, are candidates expected to answer application questions?
Yeah, we have a few different stages of where we might ask candidates some questions. We have a short written response in our application platform, which is basically looking at their motivation or why they're interested in either the role they've applied for or working at Arup. And we read through those as we go through the shortlisting process as well. And I would really recommend to any students that are listening to this, definitely use those opportunities to be able to sell yourself. I think it's a good opportunity to be able to articulate why you like that particular role that you've applied for or why you think you're suited for it. And then that way it gives the recruiter an easy opportunity to just have a quick scan and have a look at who's really passionate or interested.
You mentioned that cover letters are an optional part of the application. What's your take on cover letters? Would you recommend grads to always include one even when it's not required, or what do you think?
I am a big fan of cover letters, and I might be biased, but I do quite often refer to them if they included pretty much most of the time. I think a cover letter is a really great opportunity for you to be able to sell yourself and talk about why you're interested in the role or what experience that you might have or your interests or what you've studied and how that's aligned to the role and or the organization. When you think about it, your resume is very much just stating different experiences or courses that you've done. It doesn't really often provide that human element or allow us to get to know you in that much depth. So it can be challenging to make an assessment on whether or not someone is suitable for the particular role that you're recruiting for. So I think the cover letter is the opportunity to bridge that gap. And I think as well, if you are particularly motivated or interested in a particular role, if you think of it from like a recruitment perspective, maybe there's two candidates that they're thinking of shortlisting and you're one of them. Any sort of opportunity that you can get to give yourself that little bit of extra sell or a little bit more of the person reviewing's time could potentially have a positive benefit for you through the recruitment process. I would suggest if students have capacity to include a cover letter where they can. But one thing that I will say is when you are including your cover letter, I would recommend getting a family member, a friend, or someone from maybe even your university career service to have a read over it. Quite often we will receive cover letters that will be addressed to the wrong company or will be referring to the wrong role. And while I personally wouldn't necessarily mark someone down or anything like that, some recruiters may be more cutthroat and maybe that would be a make or break on your application. So I think just that small attention to detail is, yeah, really important at that stage. And if you are copying, pasting the same cover letter Totally, we get it. We know that a lot of students are applying for lots of roles. We all usually open our applications at the same time, and I know that it's a really busy time for students. So if there's anything that you take away from listening to this, maybe just double check that you've got the right company name on your next cover letter when you apply for a role. Or if you don't have anyone else to check over it, maybe command F and make sure that you've got the right company name in there.
So in your time at Arup, what would you say are some of the key things that make a candidate stand out?
I think there are a few things that make a candidate stand out. I think at an interview stage, one of the key things interviewers are always keen to understand is a student's knowledge about the business or the team and the kind of work that they do, and also that desire or willingness to learn and try new things. I think when we're looking at recruiting people in the early career space, we know that they have got limited experience, or if they have experience at all, some of them, this might be their first time getting professional work in the industry of their study. So I think being able to articulate and demonstrate that you're willing to basically give things a go and try new things is something that will really make you stand out as you go through that recruitment process.
And how would you suggest the candidate show that they have those sorts of qualities?
I think at an interview stage, it's really important being honest and transparent. If you're asked a question about maybe a particular software, or if you've had experience in a particular field and the truth is that you haven't, I think the best way to be able to answer that is honestly and say, I haven't had any experience using that software, but I'm really interested in it and would love to upskill myself or learn more to be able to be suitable for this role. I think the best thing to remember is that being honest is the best way to go about it, because you would hate to then perhaps maybe they'd follow up with a technical question or ask you to demonstrate some sort of experience. And if you haven't been honest, then you might catch yourself in a little bit of hot water. So it's always, yeah, best to be honest and also understand that your interviewer or the recruiter that you're dealing with likely isn't going to expect you to have years of experience or have done lots of courses on top of your study, because we know that you're juggling lots of different things while you are at university.
I see, I see. And how would a candidate show that they have potential?
Good question. I think that's probably a similar piece in the interview stage. I think being inquisitive and having questions prepared for your interviewer to understand what your career pathway might look like, or what the opportunity or the role would be able to provide you in terms of your career progression, learning, and development. And I think at that stage in your career, it can be challenging to know where you're going to take your career. So being able to ask those questions and show that you are really interested to learn more and unlock your potential, essentially, would be the best way for you to learn and to also demonstrate that to the interviewer as well.
This actually ties into another question we often get from students, which is like, what questions should I ask at the end of the interview?
Yeah, I think a lot of students ask this question to me as well in terms of what they should ask. And I always suggest that they sit and have a think about what they want to know about the role. What is it about the role that is of interest to you, or where are there some question marks for you? Rather than looking at it as an exercise of, oh, I have to ask a question, let's use this as an opportunity to actually unpack whether this role is right for you. And one thing I always think about too is, students or people who go through a recruitment process often feel quite nervous at the same time as an interviewer is asking them questions and figuring out if they're the right fit for the role or the organization. As a student in this current market, it's also an opportunity for you to figure out whether this employer is someone that you want to work for. It might be in terms of company culture that you might want to, that might be really important to you, and you might want to ask a question related to that. You might want to know more about the learning and development opportunities, or if there's any opportunity for you to perhaps have a mentor, or what does that career progression look like? Understanding those areas that may not be on the application platform or a position description, things that you can only really learn more about from those conversations, are where I would target those questions so that you can ultimately make an informed decision if you are to receive an offer as to whether or not that company is somewhere that you would want to work.
Got it. So ask genuine questions about things you're genuinely curious about, and don't treat it as an exercise in impressing the employer or anything like that.
Yes, yeah, that would be, yeah, one of my biggest pieces of advice for the question piece of an interview.
Awesome.
And I'd probably also say, just on that as well, if you do have some burning questions that you would love to ask the interviewer and you're worried that you might feel a little bit nervous in an interview or that you might forget to ask them, feel free to write them down. And when you get to the part of the interview where they ask you if you have any questions, I would usually just say to them, I've actually pre-prepared some and wrote them down for some things I'd really love to know. Would you mind if I pull out my notebook, and refer to those questions? I think it's best to, yeah, get all the answers that you need and also be able to articulate what it is that you're asking rather than trying to wing it. And I'm sure it's very unlikely that an interviewer would mark you down for pulling out notes to refresh your memory on the questions that you wanted to ask.
So I think some students also ask, oh, can we ask about salary at the end of the first interview? Is that like a turn off for employers?
I think salary is an important question, and obviously it is also something that you want to know before you consider agreeing to starting a job. In a first interview, I probably would suggest avoiding the salary conversation. Depending on the company and what their recruitment process is like and how many interviews there may be. But you can also leverage different platforms that are out there that might have salary ranges to help give you a bit of a ballpark in terms of what that salary could look like for you at that company. The salary ranges on the job ads when employers post them on there, so it can help give you that bit of a ballpark figure. If a company were to go by a model that had a salary range, it might actually be a bit challenging for them to tell you where you would sit in that range based off one interview. It would probably take a little bit more of an assessment for them to be able to provide that insight. For us, all of our grads start on the same salary, so it would be a relatively easy question for us to be able to answer, and we are transparent with what our salaries are like for our graduates. But it's probably something that I would, yeah, recommend keeping in your back pocket until later through the recruitment process. And it's probably a question that I would ask the recruiter rather than your interviewer if they are someone who's technical or that's the team leader of the role you're applying for.
So, what's one thing you wish students did better?
One thing I think that it would really be great for students to improve on in their application is being able to articulate their transferable skills. I think a lot of students don't give enough credit to the experiences that they've had throughout their life, whether it's through their resume or in a job interview. When people are often applying for internships, they may feel discouraged because the work experience that they do have may not be directly relevant to the job that they're applying for. And so they often miss the opportunity to demonstrate the skills that they do have. Whether you have been a captain of a sporting team, or you worked in a fast food restaurant, or maybe you have done an internship somewhere else, regardless of what the nature is of that experience, I definitely recommend sitting down and having a think about what the transferable skills are that you acquired in that role or through that experience. Whether you were working in a fast food restaurant, your communication skills might be really strong because you've had to serve customers. Maybe your time management is really good because you've had to get orders out in a timely manner and things like that. So I think, yeah, one of my tips would be don't discredit the experience that you've had and be confident in those transferable skills that you would have acquired regardless of what the experience was. I'm sure that they all would have been valuable lessons that would have helped develop you into where you are now in your career or your journey through university.
That's awesome. Are there any specific transferable skills that you look for at Arup?
It really depends on the role and the team dynamic and the kind of work that they would be doing. I think any sort of problem-solving ability to work as part of a team and organization and time management skills are always really important, regardless of the role that you're going into.
Got it. Could you talk maybe a little bit about your shortlisting process?
Yes, definitely. So we basically will pull all of our candidates that have applied usually at the end of the campaign. So we wait until applications have closed. We give candidates a couple of days to get their testing back to us so that we can pull all of their results. Basically, the way that I like to look at our shortlisting activities is an application is all different pieces of the puzzle. So we take into consideration the area of study and whether that's aligned to what the team is looking for or any sort of prerequisite areas of study that might be required. We'll also look at their resume, a cover letter if they've included one. We'll look at their testing results, their academic results, and then that motivation or the written response question as well. We take a bit of a bigger picture look at a candidate's application, but the first thing that we will look at to reduce the number of applications is looking at those prerequisite degrees and making sure it is aligned to the skill set that we're looking for in a particular role.
I see. So actually a pretty big chunk of it is seeing if their degree matches the degrees that you're hiring for.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. If we were recruiting for a role as a structural engineer, we would be looking for people with a civil structural degree as opposed to someone with a mechanical degree or something like that. In some roles, there is very specific degrees that we recruit from. And then in some of our other teams, they're open to a broad range of different degrees. But we go through job briefings with all of our hiring managers to learn more about their ideal candidate or skill set that they would be looking for in their graduate or in their intern. And we help match the appropriate candidates to the opportunities that we have available.
Could you give us an example of a role where there would be like a broader range of disciplines you'd be hiring for?
Yes, definitely. I think, for example, might be in our water team. So they might be open to chemical engineers, civil engineers, process engineers, maybe even environmental engineers. The teams that are open to different degrees usually have quite a broad team or offer a variety of different services or have different skill sets within the team themselves. I guess that's probably the main sort of area or the main way that they would be open to different degrees. But there are a lot of team leaders as well who perhaps like to challenge traditional ways of thinking and look at different pathways that could lead to opportunities. If there's no sort of technical component, like you need to have a specifically mechanical degree or something like that, then they usually will be open-minded and look at different courses that could have similar skill sets that would allow them to be able to deliver in the role.
So it seems like the hiring manager has a pretty big say in how broad they want to hire from.
Yeah, they do. And that's probably really important for our recruitment process, because as an early careers recruiter, our job is to help find the right candidates. But if we don't know what the right candidates look like or who are the people that we need in our teams, then we're not able to have a strategy that's targeted or bringing in the right kinds of people. So the hiring manager's input is really important in the early careers process. And I think one thing as well that we are starting to look at even more than before and that we will continue to dive deeper into in the future is looking at the future of the business and the skills that we may need in 5, 10, 15 years' time. It's important that as our business grows, so does the skills and capabilities of our members. And that really does start at an early careers level. Instead of maybe bringing in all of our grads in a certain field or discipline, it's looking at what kind of skills do we want to have in the future and where do we want to grow the business and helping align to that, which is really exciting, I think, because it means that there's pathways and doors opening for different degrees and different streams rather than just being purely focused on engineering. ARIP does have a real vested interest in early careers and makes it a priority. So we're always looking at bringing on new talent and people that are coming out of university and wanting to kickstart their career. And by offering those opportunities across all of our offices in Australasia and through our early careers programs, it brings in fresh ways of thinking, diversity of thought. And it's just always really invigorating to learn what the new students or the current students are learning in their courses, as it could be very different to someone who has been out of uni for 20 years.
Got it. I have a question that a lot of students wonder these days. So going back to resumes, do recruiters manually go through resumes these days, or is it like a process where you scan it through, like use some AI tool to scan for certain keywords?
It really depends on the organization and the software that they use. There are definitely some tools out there that will do a lot of that initial screening and look for keywords and things like that. For us, we will look at those different shortlisting metrics that I had mentioned before and take those all into consideration. And then basically, if we can see that a candidate has applied for a role, has the right degree, has performed well on the testing and is really interested in the role that they're applying for, we would have a read through their resume and see what relevant experience that they may have.
Would you be able to share what portion of your work is reviewing resumes?
It's actually quite a small percentage of my job, I would say. Because we do work in these peak periods, we only have a few weeks of a year where we are like actively recruiting or looking at applications. In terms of the year, it's actually quite a small portion of my time, but in that period, it's just a lot and it's very condensed in pretty much all that we focus on. So yeah, I guess probably majority of my day to day or what I'm doing in my role is looking at those sort of like engagement opportunities with students and how we can build on our overall strategy in terms of like attraction, who we partner with, how we identify the right talent, and then also working with the business to identify what grad roles they'll need in the future, what are the skills that they're looking for, and then basically trying to match that all together to build out an overall strategy to bring in the right people.
So the majority of your job is engaging with students directly or through social media, or what does that look like?
It depends on the time of year and what's going on. So during usually the first and second week of each university semester in Australia in particular, we go to different career fairs and networking evenings and events and things like that. So that is a big piece of it. And then in addition to that, I also help with our marketing strategies. So we look at the different kinds of assets that we might need, whether it's photography, videos, the kind of posts that we're going to have going out. So it's, yeah, a mixture of all of those things throughout the year.
Got it, got it. And are you able to work from home?
We have a hybrid model. We have people usually in the office 2 or 3 days a week, and then they're welcome to work from home on the other days. So it's a real mix. We do encourage our grads to be in the office as much as they can because it obviously is really helpful when you are learning and you can just ask the person sitting next to you rather than having to jump on a Teams call. So for that sort of culture side of things and settling in and learning, it is recommended to go into the office as much as you can. But yeah, our flexible approach to work applies for all of our permanent staff within the region.
Can you tell us about referrals?
We don't currently have a formalized referral program for early careers. We do take on board any sort of feedback or recommendations about a particular candidate, but it doesn't directly influence or impact the hiring process per se. And people who do make a referral don't receive any sort of bonus or anything like that internally. We endeavor to provide a fair and equitable process for everyone who applies with us. Everyone comes through the same formal channel. They apply during the same campaign period and go through the same testing and interviews in order to be fairly assessed against other candidates that have applied. We don't have that formal process for a referral in place, but if there is particular feedback that has been shared about an individual, then we may pass that on to the team leader, but they'll still have to come through that same process like everyone else.
Another question we sometimes get from students is, should I connect with a recruiter on LinkedIn? Could you share any of your thoughts or experiences with this?
Definitely. I think there's no harm in connecting with people on LinkedIn, especially if they work for a company that you would love to work at one day or learn more about. I think better yet than connecting with a recruiter is seeing if you can connect with people who work in the team or in the area that you would be interested in. So, whether that's a local graduate that works in that team or the team leader, I think by connecting with them, you'll be able to see whenever they post or reshare things, and it will help you keep up to date with the different projects that they're working on or the different things that are going on within the organizations. I think connecting with the right people on LinkedIn, yes, it is an opportunity to potentially lead to getting an offer for a job or finding speaking with a recruiter and getting invited to an interview or something like that. But it's also a really good learning opportunity for you as a student to be able to understand more about the organization and the team that you're interested in, and helping you be informed when you do come through to, say, for example, an interview. And you'll be able to have more natural conversation because you'll know more about like relevant projects or the kind of work that they're doing. And it might also inspire you with some particular questions that you might want to ask as well when you do reach the end of that interview. And that's probably would like segue to another piece of advice that I often give to students is when companies, like large companies, advertise for their graduate or intern roles, quite often there'll be lots of different opportunities that are available. And it can be challenging for a student to understand more about the particular team or the actual work that they might be doing, because you jump on the company's website and there's so many different things that they do or teams that they have. So if you do get that context about the team that you are being considered for or who your interviewers are, I definitely recommend doing a Google search or searching on LinkedIn for either that team or any local projects that they've worked on and or the people who are part of the team. Because I think when you are researching and preparing for an interview, it's really important to know about the organization. But often students will jump on the company website and they'll read the information that's maybe on the homepage. And while, yes, that all is applicable, it may not be directly relevant to the role that you're applying for. So the conversation would flow more naturally if you knew more about, yeah, a local project or the kind of work that they do in that specific team, as opposed to what the company does globally, because it might be completely unrelated to what you might be doing on a day-to-day.
Thank you so much for your time today, Maddie, and all your excellent responses. Super helpful for us and for the students that listen to our podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure chatting with you, and also, yeah, really appreciate the opportunity, and hopefully some of the tips or knowledge that I've shared today will be beneficial to students as they embark on their career and start submitting their job applications. But if there's one key thing to take away, I would say is for the students to just be confident and don't underestimate the skills that and do your best, and that's all that you can ask of yourself.